Good afternoon and welcome into another edition of Woods and Water South Carolina. Glad you've joined us. This is our, what would you call this show?
Classic Preview.
2020,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it is the 50th anniversary of Bassmaster.
The classic, yeah. The first classic was 50 years ago. So, yeah, this is our classic preview, and we've got some good guests.
We do.
Who we got?
We have the one and only Davey Height.
From Bass Live.
Yep. And we've got our South Carolina poster boy from Santee, which Patrick Walters.
Yep. Patrick's going to join us. So, it's going to be a good show. A lot of stuff going on. You're going to have to buckle up because we're fixing to fly through the first and the fourth. we'll take our times with Davey and Patrick, but we got a lot of stuff to cover here otherwise. Starting off with, today is leap day.
It is.
February 29th. Every fourth year, we have a leap day. So, would you like some useless information on leap day? It's not useless.
Useless information.
But, you know, the modern calendar is 365 days, but the actual time it takes the Earth to orbit its star is slightly longer, roughly 365.2421 days. Yeah, anyway, many ancient calendars had entire leap months.
Wow.
Yeah. Chinese, Hebrew, Buddhist calendars are lunisolar, meaning their dates indicate the position of the moon as well as the position of Earth relative to the sun. And so there's an 11-day gap there. They just stuck in a month. Must have been nice. Intercalary months is what they were called. Julius Caesar introduced leap day with the help of the Egyptians. There you go. Something irked Caesar, the general turned consul turned dictator of Rome, who drastically altered the course of European history. In addition to conquering Gaul and transforming Rome from a republic into an empire, Caesar reordered the Roman calendar, giving us a blueprint off of which much of the world still operates to this day. Okay. Their math was a little off. By the 16th century, scholars had noticed that time was slipping. Caesar's calculation that a year lasted 365.25 days was close, but still overestimated the solar year by 11 minutes. He was way off.
I'm sure that
bothered him. Of course, he's probably dead by this time anyway. Leap day is often associated with marriage proposals and flipping gender roles. So curiously, traditions hold that in 5th century Ireland, St. Bridget lamented to St. Patrick that women were not allowed to propose marriage to men. So legend has it that St. Patrick designated the only day that does not occur annually, February 29th, as a day on which women would be allowed to propose to men. In some places, leap day thus became known as Bachelor's Day. Okay. And if a man rejected a woman's proposal, he owed her a debt of several pair of fine gloves.
Okay.
Well. Perhaps to hide the fact she did not have an engagement ring. Okay.
Oh, my word. Dang.
People born on leap day are called leaplings. They are special. There are only about 5 million people in the whole world who were born on February 29th. So leaplings technically only get to celebrate their birthdays once every 4 years.
What in the world?
It's amazing things Google can find for you. Oh, my goodness.
Leaplings.
So there. And it just happens it falls on today. So we had to do something. I couldn't just, like, gloss over it. If it wasn't today, I'd have said, yesterday was February 29th. Happy birthday. But since it's today, I had to go into a little more detail.
So there's somewhat of your history lesson.
Yeah, somewhat of your history lesson. But more current history is the 50th anniversary of the Bassmaster Classic. And we are headed to Birmingham, to Lake Gunnersville.
Yep.
Just going to be a grand time. It's a little over 5 hours from the upstate. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is from low country, maybe 5.5, because you'll hit 20 and go to Atlanta that way. But it's interstate. I'm sorry. I can't believe I just said that. It's interstate.
He's actually gotten better at driving interstates, y'all. No, actually, yes. He handled CWE very well.
Yeah, that's because we were running late already. Otherwise, we'd have been on 176.
But you handled it great.
Yeah, I know. except for that traffic false delay in Columbia, thanks to Google Maps. Anyway, back to the classic. It all kicks off. Well, for me, it'll kick off Wednesday night. Then media day is Thursday. But things for The Spectators start Thursday night. 5 o'clock, uptown area of Birmingham from 5 to 9. They're going to have all sorts of stuff going on, live music, fireworks, kids' activities. Then, Taylor, things shift on Friday.
They do. Tell me what they do.
No. They shift on Friday. Where do things start having Friday?
Is not working.
Oh, it is.
Where is it? I'm missing it.
Right there.
I'm missing it. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. My favorite part. You start the day off early with coffee and food and a ton of fun.
Oh, no.
Coffee. Coffee.
What's the schedule?
Hot coffee. Academy will be on site each day with special guests, giveaways, and photos. You can take a demo ride in a Skeeter Yamaha Mercury
Nitro
and Triton boost.
You skip right over where they were.
I don't see
takeoffs.
Well, yeah. Didn't I say that?
No, you didn't say that.
Okay, never mind.
Takeoffs, Lake Gunnersville.
It is at takeoff at Lake Gunnersville.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Sunday is when we spring forward with daylight savings time. So that's going to throw a wrench into the time that you're there on Sunday, how early you got to get up and all. So be aware of that, folks. If you're going to go out for Sunday's morning launch, you're going to have to factor in it's going to be an hour later. Oh, that sounds bad. But it is.
It is?
Yeah, you spring forward.
Oh.
I think I got it right. Anyway, back. Take a demo ride. What else you got?
It says you can wear Alabama or Auburn colors to win a prize.
Win a prize.
Don't you still have your Alabama hat, Dad?
I do.
And then Saturday, you'll have a free breakfast tailgate. Sunday, Marshall County is inviting high school anglers from all around the southeast to come to the launch and stay for pro angler seminars. And that includes a breakfast after the launch. You can RSVP there. There's going to be music, mascots, and a ton of more fun.
And then every afternoon, you go to the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Center for weigh-ins at Legacy Arena. Doors open at 3 o'clock for credentialed Bass Life and Bass Nation members, 3:15 for the general public. And you watch the anglers weigh in their Lake Gunnersville bass.
And you can get giveaways from bass sponsors. And yeah, like you said, watch the anglers weigh in.
And then the expo, one of our favorite places to see and be seen.
Yes.
Is the expo.
It is. And they will actually this year they will be having Bass Live in the expo.
Yeah, well, it's happened there before, but yeah, Bass Live is going to be there.
But and then Marzona.
We can't go. Yeah. Such, Ronnie Moore, the whole gang will be there. So, but yeah, don't hesitate to hop in the car and come to Birmingham for the 50th Bassmaster Classic. Legends such as Ray Scott, Bob Cobb, Bob Murray, Rick Klun, and more will be there. Those will be in the bass booth. You can get your picture made with a trophy. Just all sorts of stuff. So don't hesitate. Jump in the car. Come to Birmingham.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. If you see us, if anybody sees us and comes over, we'll find something to give you.
Yep.
We'll dig around and find something we can.
And our Mary Poppins bag.
Yeah, we'll get something going here and give you something. But that's this next week, which is pretty good. Oh, and then Military First Responders Day on Saturday. Show your ID and get some stuff.
Stuff.
And all. Stuff and all.
You're doing about as bad as I am.
I know. But going to be a good time, and hope you'll find some time to get over there and take it in. It's working on trying to get it back to Lake Hartwell again. We'll see. And hey, let's ride this out with a little bit of the face of South Carolina tourism, Hootie. Hang on, we're going to have Davey Hyde on when we come back from this break. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We are doing a little classic preview show today.
We are.
And we're going to be there.
We will.
I mean, it's very, it's coming up really quick.
It is coming
like this week, folks.
Quick.
If you want to be in Birmingham, you better get on the road. But we are, it's always fun to have Davey Hyde on, and we appreciate Davey taking a little bit of his time. And I want to ask you what lake you're on, Davey, but,
Just tell us what they're biting. I want to get fishing so bad, and I just really want to know what they're like right now.
Well, it's been really good the last hour or so. Wasn't in any real big hurry. Had a few things I needed to do this morning, so I didn't get out here until about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I was getting a bite or two here and there, but in the last hour or so, it's been really good. It's been really good. I've had probably six bites in the last hour, and all of them nice fish, you know, 2.5 to about 4.5 pounds.
Wow.
No great big ones, but, man, it's a lot of fun.
And a halfway decent day considering all the rain we've had.
Yeah, you know, the water's stained everywhere.
Right.
And when I say everywhere, from classic waters all the way here to Lake Murray. So it's got to adjust to that, but I like that. I like that. Nothing wrong with a little stained water. You just have to kind of adjust with it. And once the fish get accustomed to it, it's not super fresh, then they'll bite, no doubt about it.
Sure. Yeah, there was a high school tournament on Hartwell, and we went down Saturday afternoon for the weigh-in. And when you cross over those upper arms, man, I mean, it was orange.
Yep. So to answer your question, Taylor, I am catching them on a DT6. A Demon DT6 is what a lot of folks are catching them on throughout the country this time of year.
Oh, wow.
What's your color?
Demon color.
Demon color. Okay, I missed that part.
Yep. You know, it's a kind of a between a pink and a red. It's a great color for stained water, pre-spawn fish all over the country. It's a bait that was used to win a classic at Guntersville just a few years back, and I'm sure some guys will be throwing it there this year.
You know, when you have a classic returning to another lake, the same lake, and it was one on a certain bait, just like what you mentioned. Does that work against some of these guys that kind of in their head they say, oh, it worked last time, I'm going to go throw this? Is that something they'll work out during practice, or some of those guys get stuck all the way to the tournament with that mindset?
Well, you know, it's good to have knowledge of things that have worked in the past on certain lakes. But like I said, the DT6 is no big secret. It works a lot of different lakes. It's all about finding the right areas and the right cover that the fish are using. And you know, we've had multiple classics right there at Hartwell, and it always seems to be won a different way, even though it'll be basically the same time of year. There'll be different conditions on the water, different water temperatures, clarity. You know, the lake level has a lot to do with where those fish set up. So I'm sure Guntersville will be a little different this year than when we were there in the past.
Well, let's step back about 4.5 months ago. You were inducted in the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame in Springfield, Missouri. Are you still just kind of pinching yourself about being inducted and some of the people that are in there with you?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, I dreamed as a child to be a professional bass angler, and I thought it was almost an unrealistic dream, but you know, thank goodness that all worked out. But I never even dreamt of being in the Hall of Fame. That was something that, you know, was so far, you know, everyone should reach for the stars, but that was, you know, that was light years away from my wildest dreams, and it's just super, super humbling to be voted in by your peers and hope that you did a few good things throughout your career in the sport. And it's just, you know, I said in my classic speech that, like Lou Gehrig, I felt like the luckiest man alive, no doubt about it.
Well, it was fun to be there. I'm glad we made the trip. Goodness gracious, there's so much to go do and see right there in Springfield. I mean, you got the wonders of wildlife, and there's some good restaurants around town. But that, I tell you, that evening at the Hall of Fame, that was special. Really was.
Yeah, it's a special place. You know, to be where the site, Springfield, where the first Bass Pro Shops was many years ago, and now, like you said, with the wonders of wildlife and museum, that sort of thing, it's just absolutely incredible. If you're ever in that area and you like the outdoors, you should make it a to-do bucket list sort of thing, no doubt about it.
That's cool. So going back to classic topic, right now the forecast is saying rain early in the week with highs around 60, like in the low 60s, and lows in the 40s. Now, it could change, but going based off the forecast right now, where do you think the fish will be on Gunnersville?
Well, I think a lot of those fish will be shallow because of the water clarity. You know, they've had a ton of rain there along the Tennessee River, and the water should have good color to it. There'll be some areas that'll be clearer than others, but with that forecast, the highs being in the 60s, I've been paying attention to it just like you have, and it's really setting up for those fish to be probably 6 to 8 feet. And less, and a lot of those fish maybe even be caught 3 to 3, 4, maybe even 5 feet deep. And, you know, like I mentioned, a variety of baits, crank bait, spinner bait, jerk bait, vibrating jig, regular jig, just all those typical pre-spawn, type baits, I really think that the same water will make those fish be shallower than maybe they have been in the past when we've been there that time of year. The great thing about this year, you know, a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, have been to Bassmaster Classics, especially with several of them being there at Hartwall. But the great thing about this year being the 50th anniversary of the Bassmaster Classic and being at Gunnersville, being in Birmingham, which is, you know, it's, what, 5 hours for us maybe to drive there? It's close enough to make an easy trip out of it, and they're going to do some special things because it being the 50th year. I am really excited about it. Last year in Knoxville was absolutely incredible.
It was.
The fans showed up, and I'm sure they are going to do the same thing. Even bigger crowds, if that's possible, because it was absolutely incredible last year in Knoxville, and I'm looking forward to it. No doubt about it. Everyone in the fishing community, looks forward to, you know, it's the greatest show on the Bass Trail, and no matter what level you fish at, to be able to go to a Bassmaster Classic is incredible. But
really
this
is,
being the 50th anniversary, being there in the state of Alabama, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be great fish catching, no doubt about it. But then everything that goes on around that is going to be even better than ever.
Yeah, I know. You know, on Thursday they've got kind of like a little downtown kickoff party they're going to have. You know, booze, giveaways, prizes, live music, fireworks, food vendors, kids activities. I mean, it's going to be kind of a big deal for the 50th. Where are you going to be spending most of your time, Davey?
Well, we're going to do the Bassmaster Live all 3 days, 6.5 hours of coverage. So I'll be in the expo. We're going to set up me, Mark Zona, Tommy Sanders, Ronnie Moore, Suits. We're going to all be in the expo. Mercer will be around here and there, obviously doing the, being there at takeoff and doing the weigh-in. But, Tommy and Zona and I will be right there in the show, right in the middle of all the crowd. And, you know, that's where I like to be at the Classics, being around all those people. It makes it a little difficult to try to concentrate on the 15 and do what we need to do when you got people all around you. But I love it. I mean, it's the Bassmaster Classic.
And the live, I got to tell you, live by far is the best coverage of any bass tournament trail out there.
It really is, yeah.
I mean, y'all have nailed it.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot. I mean, when I stopped fishing the Bassmaster Elite Trail and decided to do what I am doing now, I really didn't want to, you know, sink it up. And I felt an obligation to try to do things right and promote the fishermen because they're the stars of the show.
Sure.
And that's what I try to do. You know, I've been on the other end of the line, so to speak. And I just want to do a good job because I owe so much back to the sport.
That's true. But y'all do a great job. And everybody I talk to thinks the same way. All right, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. You've got some real hammers from Alabama, Scott Canterbury being one of them.
Yep.
Who are your favorites? If you've got about 3 minutes. Who are your favorites and why? And you don't have to do 5 or 10. You just do 1 or 2.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with Scott Canterbury. He's very knowledgeable of Gunnersville. He's on a roll. He won Angler of the Year last year.
Right.
We've had one tournament so far this year. He did well in it. And I believe in momentum. No matter what you're doing, when you're making good decisions and feel good about yourself and the decisions that you're making, things just click and they roll. And Scott Canterbury certainly got some of that. I was talking to Tommy yesterday. We did a little podcast thing. And Chris Saldane, you can't forget about him. He's had several second-place finishes last year. He was right in the thick of things last year in the Bassmaster Classic. he almost won like the Classic and about three or four other tournaments.
Yeah.
So he's definitely had a lot of momentum going in his favor. Clint Davis knows Guntersville well, a former Cup winner just, I guess, 2 years ago. But then there's always that, you know, a sleeper, Paul Mueller, just a few years ago when we were there, caught the largest five fish limit ever weighed in a Bassmaster Classic. And I think he was representing the nation at the point. So not a lot of folks knew who Paul Mueller was.
Right.
There again, you talk about momentum. Last year, he won his first Bassmaster Elite. He won the first one this year. So, and like I said, there's the guy that weighed in over 30 pounds in a Bassmaster Classic right there in Lake Guntersville. So those are just a few of the folks that I definitely would keep my eyes on.
You know, and it's interesting. You know, you got Canterbury came over from FLW. You got Mueller, who was the nation guy. The guys coming into the Elite Series before last year have made their mark, and they are showing that they are the guys who are fishing now and making the name for themselves.
Yep, no doubt, and I'm certainly not going to leave out my South Carolina boys, just a couple of them, like young Patrick Walters and Brandon Cobb. I mean, they are great fishermen. Everyone that has kept up with them through their careers knows that they are capable of winning anywhere and any time. So those two are certainly two guys to keep an eye on. You know, I get the privilege to go to one official practice day right before the event starts with who I think is going to be a big player. And normally by this time, I've already decided who I would hope to ride with. And I have not made that decision yet. So there's about five or six guys that I think have a great chance to win. Not counting out the other 45.
Sure,
not
sure.
Not at all, because like I said, you're going to have that sleeper. But those are some people that we just talked about that you absolutely better keep your eyes on.
Well, we are going to look forward to a great week in Guntersville, the 50th Bassmaster Classic. If you're out there listening, you need to make a day trip or come stay the night.
Yep.
Catch live on the floor with Davey and Tommy and Ronnie, and we'll try not to distract you too much, Davey. How's that? And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, and the Classic Preview, the 50th Bassmaster Classic. You'll be headed. I'm headed to Birmingham on Wednesday, Taylor.
I'll be
when
headed
you coming
there
over?
On Friday.
On Friday.
And this should be a regular thing. We should have Classic Previews every year.
Well, we will. Well, we have. You just haven't been around.
Have?
Yeah, you haven't been there. But we're eating up time here because we're talking to Patrick Walters. You know, who made a, I'm not going to say splash. He made his mark on his freshman year on the Elite Series last year. He had one tournament this year. Patrick, you weighed in the largest bag of the tournament at Palatka on Sunday and kind of redeemed yourself from Saturday. And, I want to talk a little bit about that, but thanks for taking time to be on Woods and Water, South Carolina again.
Absolutely, Roger and Taylor. I'm really happy to be here with you guys. And Roger, I'm not going to lie, I like the new music. I was getting kind of pumped up listening to that. Thank you. But I'm really excited to be here. And one thing I like best is it's the Classic Preview.
It's
like
the
you
classic
said,
preview.
That's a good sign. If I'm in this conversation, we're going to the Classic this
that's
year.
That's exactly right. And take us back. St. John's, I mean, you know, the first, it was, you know, two windy days got canceled. Saturday was not the best day, I don't think, for many people on the water. Your fellow South Carolinian Brandon Cobb had a one fish for 1 pound, 4 ounces. You had about almost 10 pounds, not a little over 9.5. And, talk about Sunday, because you told me that you were running all the way to Dexter, and that's about as far as you can go on the St. John's from Palatka.
Well, to tell you the truth, I found an area south of Dexter in practice. On the second day of practice, it was Mud Lake, I think it is the name of the lake. It's actually about 45 to 50 minutes south of Dexter.
Oh my
it was
goodness.
About an hour and 50 minute run one way, and I found that the second day of practice, and I could just see fish everywhere. They were just swimming around, and I knew it was going to be a great area. So we had the one day of practice, and then we had the off day. And I mean, I was chomping at the bit to get down there, because I knew the fish were in there. I was like, had a couple bites in other places in the river in practice.
Sure.
But practice really was not that good. So I knew if I could go down there and say catch 12 to 18 pounds, I was going to be okay. And with the first 2 days of the tournament getting canceled, we had that cold front really come through there. The temperatures dropped and the wind blew really, really hard from the south and the southwest. And what that caused was the water to leave the river with the tide.
Right.
It almost like doubled the tide and the water couldn't come back in enough. So that's what hurt a lot of people for the tournament was the water dropped out. And so the first day of the tournament, I actually did not go down there. We had extreme cold. I didn't think there was going to be enough water to get in the area. It was that shallow. The whole area I found, it was probably about 2 feet of water for 5 miles.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what put them in that little pond that I found them in. I guess it just was a couple degrees warmer or the bottom was a little bit harder. And day two, after catching nine, I actually had 10.9 on day one.
Okay, 10.9.
I was 1 minute late and I had a pound penalty.
That's right.
So I did weigh a 9.9.
Yes.
But day two, I said, man, I got to go for it. I need some redemption, you know. So I made the run down there. It was about an hour and 50 minutes. And I'm fishing through there, and the water's pretty dirty. I can't really see anything. And you could tell the water is a little bit lower. And I'm like, man, I just made this run down here, and I'm not even going to catch a fish.
Oh, wow.
And I fished in there for probably 25 or 30 minutes and didn't get a bite. And I was instantly like, I was like that feeling thinking, it's like, I'm not going to catch them.
Right.
I kicked the trolling motor up on 10. And right when I did that, I bombed a weightless fluke out next to a patch of pennywort grass, and I kicked the trolling motor on high to go do a quick scan for beds.
Okay.
Where I was going to do a quick little loop, and then I was leaving. And when that fluke hit the water, I'm telling you, it was like a cinder block. Just huge explosion. And I caught my biggest fish that day. It was a 7-15.
Oh.
And right when I caught that fish, I said, okay, it was worth it. I don't know if I'll catch another one, but it was worth the run because I got a big one. And I turned that trolling motor down a little bit.
Right.
And it was a magical about an hour and 15 minutes. I really don't know what happened. I'm thinking the wind started blowing in there and the fish started to flood this area. I couldn't see them with my eyes.
Right.
But there was ospreys started to circle. There was four of them that were circling this little pond, and they started diving.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw them carry out four 12-inch bass. Like, they were diving on bass. And they were like seagulls.
Not needlefish or anything else. Bass.
Not needlefish. I saw them grab a shad one time.
Okay.
But they were – I've never seen them. And it was – there was no life or anything at all. And then in that 1 hour, it was like all the elements combined. And then the birds were diving. And I caught that 22 pounds flipping a 3/4 ounce weight into pennywort. I fished through there, didn't get a bite, and I was turning around, and all that happened. And it was right when you went through the mat, you knew he was going to be on the other end of the river. And after that 1 hour, it was done. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. I fished in there for about another 45 minutes, didn't get another bite, and I was like, time to take it to the hill. It was a weird hour. I don't know. I mean, after the fish stopped biting, the birds left. It calmed down, and I was like, I guess that's time for me to leave.
Yeah. Wow. Hour and how long now?
It was about an hour and 15 minutes, but the run down there was an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah. I saw you. You passed me one Sunday morning. You passed me going down river. With like
I was heading down.
2 feet of the boat in the water. Just, I mean, it was like half the live well and the motor in the water.
I'm telling you, the fastest thing between two points is a straight line, and I was cutting that river. I had to.
You were.
Cause we had that short day on
that's
Monday.
That's it. Short day on Monday.
We had to be in at 1:45, and I felt like my best chance to win was to go back down there because I knew I only needed an hour. That hour didn't happen. We lost a little more water in there, but hey, you don't know if you don't try.
That's right. That's right. That's fishing.
Well, going from St. John's to Gunnersville for the classic. Now, right now, the forecast is saying.
She asked Davey the same question. So.
I did. But I'm going to ask your opinion. So the rain, there's going to be rain early in the week, highs in the low 60s, lows in the high 40s.
Low 40s.
But here's my question. Where do you think the fish are going to be with that kind of weather being forecast? Now, it could change, but from right now going based off the forecast, where do you think they're going to be?
I always believe there's fish on the bank. I am a bank beater coming from Santee, but in my opinion, the lake is down about a foot and a half right now.
Okay.
We have a lot of rain all week. I think the water is going to rise a little bit, and okay. So it is going to push them to the bank, and it's going to be a warm rain. It's going to be a lot of warm temperatures. There's going to be a lot of fish that push up shallow, but I think the tournament winning fish are going to be in that 4 to 7 foot of water. Not the 10 foot, not the 1 to 2 foot. There's going to be fish in both of those columns.
Sure.
But the winning fish are going to be in there because with all that rain, the water is going to rise, and I think the fish will follow it.
Okay.
But what I'm looking at is, what is the water level going to do? You know, fish don't really like to spawn until all the conditions and the variables are perfect. Mm. So I feel like they'll get close to those spawning areas, and then they're just going to pull back a little bit. So I'm going in with the intentions that the water is going to rise, but they are going to pull it back a little bit. So I'm thinking 4 to 7 foot staging areas, in the mouth of pockets, secondary points, that kind of stuff where they want to be shallow, but they're still hesitant. It's still early.
Do you have, I'm thinking back. I'm sure you've been on Gunnersville fishing before. Have you ever been down there this time of the year?
One time, I think sophomore year in high school,
I took my
spring break, Dad and I. I know that was throwing it back. and we went there for my spring break, and we went to Gunnersville, and man, it was cold. We didn't catch much fish.
Yeah.
But that was the only time I've been to Gunnersville in March. Other than that, I've been there in May a couple times, and in June, and then I think in the fall a couple times. Love the lake. I've been there a good bit of time. I'm excited. I love Santee. I love pre-spawn fishing in general. I feel like it's going to set up the same. It's just big fish, grass, staging. I think there's going to be some hooks at.
Absolutely. Speaking of, you're coming to Santee. Take a minute, though. I don't want to jinx you here, so just real short. Are you looking forward to that tournament being in your backyard, or are you kind of a little apprehensive about the home field advantage thing?
Roger, I might have to go with a little bit of both on that one, just because – I absolutely love coming to Santee Cooper, coming to Clarendon County, being on the lake, my home body of water. Really looking forward to this one more than anything. But how I'm looking at it is I do get to sleep in my own bed, which is a great thing. But I'm not going to go into it with any local advantage of history-wise. I'm going to kind of forget the past. I am going to use my past and the history of certain locations, you know, but not don't let that burn me. Because in the past, in some of the tournaments, I've fished history a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm a big advocate in fishing new water or letting the fish do the talking, really finding the fishing areas, and don't get so set on one pattern where I want to find them an area and just stay with the fish and follow them and kind of let my local knowledge be like, well, if they're here, you know, they need to be going there. Or this is where they're going to move up or go back to, and not saying I need to go hit these 27 trees all day today. If I don't hit any trees, I'm not going to catch them, because I have done that. And I have ran those 27 trees and not caught them. So
absolutely.
A little bit of both on that one.
I gotcha. Well, look, we do not, we got about 30 seconds left. We don't want to see you on the show floor at all in Gunnersville, right?
That's the plan. I only want to see y'all Sunday night.
That's right. Sunday night when you're walking the stage top one or two, right?
Absolutely. That's
absolutely.
The plan. We're going out number one.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, thanks much, bud. Safe travels over there. Good practice. And we will see you at the 50th Classic in Birmingham and on Lake Gunnersville next weekend.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely, Roger and Taylor. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. Y'all too. Bye-bye.
Get this one, Taylor.
I know this song.
You know all my songs.
I know, sadly.
It's the benefit of growing up in the passenger seat of my car.
Are you sure it's a benefit?
Yeah, I think it is.
I still can't hear out of my right ear.
Yeah, that's okay. You scream in both my ears, so I can't hear out of both of them anymore.
It's just payback.
It is payback. What a great couple of guests. Dave is just so good. And I hated that segment ended like that, but he just got wound up again, and I hated to cut him off, so I just let the computer cut him off.
Just got wound up.
He was going down, and all of a sudden, he just, boom, there he goes again. And then Patrick, I'd love to see Patrick up on that stage on Sunday in some way or another. I don't want to see any of our guys in the expo Sunday.
Going back to Davey talking, I think I could sit and listen to Davey talk all day.
That's what makes live so much fun to watch and to listen to is you got a good mix.
Yep.
But Davey being right here in South Carolina, I think that's part of it. Hometown pride for a guy like that.
Exactly.
Okay, it's time for the calendar events. Brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing Event Center. Why don't you kick us off with yours?
Oh, I got a good one for y'all. Uh-oh. So, February 29th.
This is a foodie thing here.
It's a foodie, and it's for all you live PD lovers. Which, if you do not know, the Metz Family's movie night is every Friday and Saturday.
Saturday night.
From 9
hours,
to 12.
9 to 12.
Yelling at the TV to tase them or
yeah,
shoot
tase
them. Yep.
Where's the car chase when you need one?
Exactly.
Does everybody smoke marijuana except for us?
Anyway, but Saturday, February 29th, from 1 to 5 p.m., that's at the Coop, which is Key Road in Columbia. It's the Richland County Sheriff's Foundation 3rd Annual Shuckin' for the Law and Pig Pickin'. This is where the food comes in. It's got steamed oysters, like I said, pig picking with all the sides and fixings. Tickets are all you can eat. So that will include your food, your shucking supplies, drinks, and live entertainment. But this is where live PD comes in. There will be live PD stars there. And they'll be auctioning off a ride along with them. You can also get live PD calendars and t-shirts, and there will be a silent auction. But there are a limited number of tickets available. They will be selling them at the door, but tickets are $40. I really want to go to this. Really want to go.
When is that?
That's today.
February 29th, yeah. Guess what?
Guess what?
I'm not going to make
Nope. I hope
if y'all are there,
you should go.
Have at it. And that was a last minute, but that was just too good to pass up.
It was.
Hope Remains Ranch, first annual Benefit Sporting Clays 8 Flurry Shoot. Join us Friday, March 13th, 2020 at Spartanburg Gun Club for our first annual Sporting Clay and Flurry Shoot. All proceeds earned will be used to support Hope Remains Ranch and the day-to-day operation of the ranch as we serve hurting children, families, and adults in the upstate. Schedule 8 a.m. is registration, biscuits, safety briefing. I guess that all goes together. 9 to 11:30 is the Sporting Clay course and Flurry Shoot. 11:30 to 1 is lunch. 1 to 2 awards and recognition. 2 p.m. prizes and door drawings. You can find more of this at hoperemains.org.
Next up, we've got on March 12th through the 14th, actually, is the Whitetail Weekend in Athens, Georgia. This will include hands-on seminars, and it looks like you got some food.
Quality deer management.
Yeah, they have a wild game dinner.
Yep.
So it ought to be good.
And that's right over the road, right over the line there in Bogart, Georgia. And they've got an additional... I'm sure how many acres they've got over there now, but they're going to do a lot of field stuff, I've heard. For those of you who are interested in quail management, Thursday, March 12th and Friday, March 13th is the annual South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Webb Wildlife Center Quail Management Seminar. Seminar is designed for landowners and land managers interested in improving their skills in managing habitat for native populations of quail. Seminars will include habitat manipulation, presentation on wild quail management, field trips to the Webb Center, so you can see it in practice, guest speakers from the South Carolina Forestry Commission and Natural Resources Conservation Service, some research data from Tall Timbers, and some continuing forestry education credits. Evening activities, it's $85 a person, which includes overnights, and I think there's some food in there too, meals and somebody, yeah. So anyway, there might be a spot or two open. Try the DNR website and see if you can still fit it in. If not, mark it down on your calendar for next year.
March 13th, the 4th annual Clays for CAFLs will be hosting a shooting day at Palmetto Shooting Club. Palmetto Shooting Complex in Edgeville, South Carolina. I'm sorry.
You haven't recovered from the Bassmaster Classic schedule, have you?
I haven't. My brain's still figuring out where I'm going to be and when there. But registration will be available. Actually started in January. So make plans to join them. What you got, Dad?
Well, I got something I can't read here. Swamp Fox Adventure Race, March 14th. The Francis Mary National Forest. I'm serious. This I can't read this stuff.
We need to vote to see who can get Roger Metz glasses.
Solo. it's a 55 to 60 mile race for teams or solo. The objective of the Palmetto Swamp Fox Adventure Race is to challenge yourself and your team against the elements of the wild playing field of the Francis Marion Forest.
You see it
Thank
now.
You for the light there, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
The Palmetto Swamp Fox Adventure Race will be held in the Francis Marion National Forest north of Charleston. Racers will travel across land, swamp, and water seldom visited by man since the elusive swamp fox himself, Francis Marion, who his statue has a
red-tailed hawk nest
between his feet. It's approximately 15 to 60 miles with a finishing time between 10 and 12 hours. So you better be in shape for this. So you can find out more at Swamp Fox Adventure Race. Cool. Can Do Adventures. There's nothing, no such thing as can't.
March 14th, on Lake Hartwell at Green Pond Landing, the Crescent High School Athletic Spring Classic will be held from Safe Light until 3 p.m. There's $100 entry fee per team. You've got a 10 big fish, which is optional, $10 big fish, optional. Entry fees must be paid by March 7th. The entries that, if you have an entry that going in that morning of the tournament, that will be $125. Paying in 1 to 10 places, 40% of those, what are you doing?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, 40% goes to Crescent Athletics.
Very good.
That was a long calendar.
That was a long one. And just a few things to get you started. There's a lot more out there. Goodness, we can't get to it all. But that's somewhere for you guys to start looking for something that'll get you outside. All right. You got something for us here in the end?
I do. I have something back here. We're going to hop back to deer season.
Hop back to deer season. For those of you lucky enough to, or I won't say lucky enough, skilled enough to match wits with a wily South Carolina buck.
Yes.
Yes.
DNR released that they will be holding 12 sessions of antler scoring in March around the state. And this will be through the Palmetto Sportsman Classic. They'll have 3 days at the Classic in Columbia. This, if you don't know what scoring sessions are, they're determined if bucks are big enough to be included in South Carolina's all-time antler records list. Minimum scores for the book are 125 points for typical antlers and 145 points for non-typical antlers. They're scored according to the Boone and Crockett Club system. And if you don't know what the Boone and Crockett Club system is, go look it up and tell me who founded it. And who founded it, Dad?
You wrote a report on him.
I did.
And his name is?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt.
Yep.
Yes.
Last season's scoring session added 232 bucks to the record book. If you want to participate in these sessions, you need to provide documentation, including the date and county of the kill, and assign a fair chase statement. Antlers in velvet or those that are broken or paired or separated from the skull cannot be measured. The list of antler scoring sessions will be
quickly
at Wilson's Taxidermy, Sportsman's Warehouse in Columbia, Cabela's in Greenville, Sportsman's Warehouse in Anderson, Price County Country Store, Durham's Grocery in Pickens, Dennis Wildlife Center, and I have no clue where that is.
What?
Can you?
Bono.
And then Hunter's Headquarters in Greenwood, Academy Sports in Easley, and SC State Fairgrounds in Columbia.
And that spans what dates?
Spans from the 1st of March to the 22nd through the 24th.
And where can they find all this information at?
They can find all this information at, you can go online to DNR or find this article on Carolina Sportsman's and find the story and you can get more information.
My biggest deer missed the state record book by 3 points.
Ah, oh, dang. Dang, Dad, come on.
One antler was 3.5 inches short, about 3 inches short, and then I had a couple more, but it was almost perfectly symmetrical except for that one antler. I don't know what it wasn't the brow tines that was the next one up. So, oh well. That's probably as close as I'll ever get to the record book.
You never know.
No,
we could have
do.
Some crazy seasons.
Yeah, we could. You have to be in the woods more than what I am to have a good season. You know, one of the things I'm looking forward to at the Classic,
what
more than anything else?
What are you looking forward to?
Falcon Boats. Falcon Boats is going to be there at the Classic, and they are rolling out a brand new boat. And they're on Facebook, on social media, they're rolling out a piece of the puzzle every day. It's going to be interesting to see. It looks like one of them had a radio in it.
Oh, yeah,
radio.
We're turning bass boats into pontoon boats now, huh?
There's nothing wrong with the little tunes while you're out there fishing.
Oh, okay, but who used to get mad at me for wanting to play music on the flats boat while we were flat fishing in Charleston?
Well, let's put it this way. Redfish on the flats in Charleston is a whole lot more spookier than a largemouth bass in Lake Murray.
Depends on where you're fishing, though.
Not really. So, don't argue with me on this. I know what I'm talking about.
I can argue as much as I want to.
And you do regularly.
I do, and I quite enjoy it.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, folks.
We have too much fun.
See what I have to work with here.
Okay.
But anyway, hey, thanks for tuning in today. Hope we'll see you out at some of these events around the state. Hope maybe we'll see you at the Classic coming up here in Birmingham. And if we don't, we'll catch you back here at home.
We will.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
And as always, folks, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can.
Or like if you need to take the interstate,
you can't take the interstate.
But just take in the outdoors at some
and
point.
And don't forget that camera. We'll see you back here with more Woods and Water South Carolina next week. From behind, 'cause I'm gone to Carolina.